You know, there's going to come a day, having put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to come a day when we sing a new song to the Lord, blessing His holy name every day. But that doesn't mean our worship of Him can't start now, and so I trust that's why you've come this morning, to worship Him. Let's continue to worship Him in prayer. Father God, we praise You. We worship You. We love You. We need You. And as we have sung these songs and lifted our hearts, Father, to You, we're just joining in the crowd around Your throne in heaven and the saints here on earth that are just coming before You to worship You this morning. That's why we've come, to worship You, the living God. And I know it's very possible that we have come some with heavy hearts and with burdens, with broken bodies and broken hearts. But Father, we have come to worship You. And so, however we have come, with joy on our hearts or heaviness, I pray, Heavenly Father, that Your Spirit would minister to us, would speak to us, would lift us up, would encourage us, would strengthen us, would save us while we worship You. And so thank You for everyone that has come. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for those that are gathering in churches everywhere around our communities and around this nation and around the globe. May Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May Thy will be done in churches everywhere today. May Thy will be done, Father, in people's lives that aren't able to get to church or don't even want to. May Thy will be done, O God, in their lives too. We lift up the names again on the prayer focus this morning, Father, asking You to be with each and every one of them. And those that aren't on the prayer focus, we've heard just recently of the former pastor in Brainerd, Pastor Day, who is in a wheelchair because he fell out of a deer stand some years ago and lost his wife to a heart attack this week. Father, we pray for him and ask that You'd encourage him and continue to walk with him through the valley of the shadow of death. I pray, Father, for the rest of the folks on that prayer focus, knowing that some are in great pain, physically, emotionally. And Father, I pray for those again that have lost their loved ones these last weeks, months, and even the last couple of years. Father, fill the hole, fill the void in their heart from the loss of their loved one. Help them to feel Your presence and Your comfort. God, we need You in America. We need You in our churches. And so I just ask that You would pour out Your Spirit, revive Your church. Thank You for blessing America. Thank You for blessing Your church. Thank You for blessing us. We've come here to worship You, but we've also come to hear from You. And so guide us, Father, as we continue our worship of You this morning. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I want to again thank you for praying for our Catherine. This week is bone marrow transplant week. And so it's a critical week as she finishes up another 7 days of chemotherapy and prepares for bone marrow transplant on Thursday. So thank you for praying for her. Please continue to do so. I spoke with Brad Irwin. Some of you know Brad. He went to school right here in Motley a long time ago, and he taught agriculture in Aiken for many, many years, FFA advisor, and grew up right out here north of town. He's suffering greatly from cancer, too, and he's in a lot of pain. And I spoke to Brad this last week, and he said, I don't know how to say thank you to your church for praying for me. And so I said, well, I'll tell him for you. And so thank you for praying for not only Brad and Catherine, but all the rest of the folks on that list. Thank you for being praying people. You know what? I believe in prayer. Amen? Amen? I believe in prayer, and I believe that the more God's people pray, the more God intervenes and the more things that happen. And so let me encourage you to keep praying. Let me move in today's sermon because I don't want to run out of time when it comes to talking about this topic of love. And most of you know you were here 3 weeks or so ago when I talked about loving like Jesus. But that topic has not left my mind for some reason. And so God has given me this word. I believe it is from the Lord. It comes from the Word, so I believe it's from God. And as I stand here, let me just say this too. I don't stand here with any superiority over anybody. I stand here simply as a voice crying in the wilderness. And so this morning, the word that God has given me, I'm simply a voice crying in the wilderness. I'm no better than anybody else. I just happen to be the one that God has said, I need a voice crying in the wilderness. And so that's what I stand here before you today. And so here's what God has laid on my heart this morning. It's simply called More on Love. It seems that our nation, you probably notice this, it seems that our nation is bitterly divided and angry these days. Have you noticed? It seems like we're bitterly angry. We're bitterly divided. It seems like we're mad. Very, very mad. It seems like we're even falling in the category of hate. Have you noticed that? The atmosphere. It could be of a nation. It could be in the church. It could be where you work. It could be in our families. But it seems like we're falling into this category of hate, hating each other for really some silly reasons. It could be because of the color of our skin. That's pretty silly. Or it could be hating each other because of our social status. Well, you've got something and I don't. Or it could be hating each other because of our political views or because of our religious preference. It seems like we have found ourselves in this category of almost hating and sometimes, in fact, hating somebody else. And I can understand that from the non-believer. I can understand that from the world's perspective because they haven't perhaps been introduced to the Prince of Peace. And they haven't got the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, all those things. I can understand that. But I also see it way too often and feel, excuse me, even many non-believers are less hate-filled than some said believers. And when I read the readings and the teachings of Jesus, I referred to you, some of you remember this, last time when I spoke about loving like Jesus, I referred to Matthew 5, 43 and 44. When I read the teachings of Jesus, when he says, love your enemies, I think he meant it. And the very next thing he says, bless those who curse you. And then he says, pray for those who despitefully use you. When I see those teachings of Jesus and I see the examples that Jesus was to people in the New Testament, in all walks of life, in all racial categories, in all social statuses, and in every even sin category, when I see the example of Jesus, I'm wondering today for Jim and the church, why don't we do what he said? When it comes to loving our enemies, blessing those who curse you, and pray for those that are despitefully using you. I wonder to myself, why don't I do a better job of doing what he said? Why doesn't the church do a better job of doing what Jesus said? I realize that loving our family is most of the time relatively easy. We just had a wonderful family gathering yesterday. We celebrated my parents' 60th anniversary. And I recognize that loving our church family is relatively easy most of the time. Amen? You still with me? Loving our church family is relatively easy, and loving our family and loving our friends is relatively easy. But you know what, brothers and sisters, followers of Jesus? Jesus has called us to more than that. To more than loving our friends and our family and our church family. And so I want to refer to John 13. If you've got your Bible, it's just two or three verses. It will be on the big screen, but I want you to refer to your Bibles too so you can see it there. I'm not making this up. John 13, 33, 34, and 35. Here we go. Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and he said, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you. He's saying, have I got your attention now? I'm going to be with you just a little bit while longer. Just a little bit. And so now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. They're probably scratching their head and thinking, we already know that. And he builds on that. How do I want you to love one another? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then he builds on that further and he said, by this, you're loving for each other. You're showing genuine compassion and love for each other. By this, he says, all observers, all of the rest of society, all of the rest of the people around you will know that you are my disciples if you will love one another. And I know, you know, like they knew, to love others is not completely new. After all, in Leviticus 19:18, it said in the Old Testament, in the Mosaic Law, love your neighbor as yourself. And so, to love others was not completely new to them. It's not new to you. But to love other people without hesitation, without reservation, to love other people like Jesus loved, of other social statuses, of other races, with sin in their lives, to love those people too was revolutionary and new to the listener. And Jesus said, I want you to do it. Love those people too. And they might have been thinking, as we might think today, what do you mean, love the Samaritan? And the Samaritan woman who has had five husbands already, what do you mean, love that kind? That's what he meant. And they might have argued amongst themselves and thought in their minds, what do you mean, love this Matthew and this Nicodemus kind of people? They're supposed to be Jews and they're tax collectors and I can't stand them. And they might have rationalized in their mind, what do you mean Jesus loved them too? That's what he meant. And we might rationalize among ourselves today and say, what do you mean, preacher, love those in the BLM protest? What do you mean, love those of a different sexual orientation or a different skin color? What do you mean, love them? That's what he meant too. Brothers and sisters, love is more than saying, I love somebody, or warm feelings, or warm fuzzies. Love is an attitude that reveals itself in action. Are you hearing me? Love is an attitude of the mind and the heart that reveals itself in action. And I've said this before, allow me to say it again. Not to step on toes, but to bring us to enlightenment. If we, Jesus followers, will not love those around us in action, it may be because we don't love God that much either. We love ourselves, we love our own way, and pride gets in the way of allowing us to love that person. But if we are not loving our neighbor in action, even when they look different and act different and talk different than us, it may be because we're really not in love with the Master the way we should be. I believe it was Jesus said the second commandment is just like the first. We remember what he said was the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. The second one is just like the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. I believe that was Jesus. This love conversation he's having with the disciples this night, it's not up for debate. It wasn't that night, and it's not today. If we are going to show the love of Christ that is supposed to be in us, we are to love those that are seemingly unlovable, just like he did. This conversation about love is not debatable. It is a commandment of God. Jesus commanded his followers to love like Jesus loved. And that means beyond racial boundaries, beyond sin boundaries, beyond political boundaries. When He was on the cross, it was Jesus that said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He said that because He loved them. Jesus said to His disciples partway through His ministry and those in the crowd, "Why do you even call me Lord? You don't do what I say. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" Listen to me now, friends. Believers, followers of Jesus, when all Jim or Richard or any of the rest of us who claim the name of Christ, when all we do is show contempt or disgust for someone and badmouth them or whatever it is we do, what does that really say about what Jesus said? "By this, all will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, if all I can do is show us contempt or disgust towards somebody, how is anybody ever going to see the love of Jesus in me?" How are they ever going to know if you're my disciples, if you have love for each other? They'll never know that if all we have is contempt or disgust for somebody or some people. No, we don't have to agree with them. And we don't agree with some of the things that are happening around us. That's obvious. But when all we do is show contempt for them, we will never show that Jesus loves through us by doing that. We will never show by our actions that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, if we don't have anything good to say about others. The Bible has examples of loving those unlovely. It has lots of them. And I could refer to any one of them. But today I want to tell us a story in closing that comes from a book by Lee Strobel called The Case for Grace. I know I asked you a year or so ago if you read that, because I had read it as a brand new book. It's a powerful book on grace. And so this story that I'm going to conclude with comes from there. His name was Cody Huff. And Cody had found himself digging in dumpsters behind a pizzeria in Las Vegas, looking for half-eaten chicken wings and crusts from the pizza to survive on. Can you get the visual? You've chewed on a chicken wing, you've cast it into your plate, then it gets cast in the garbage, then it gets cast into the dumpster, and yet somebody's coming along looking for that little piece of meat on that bone that you've already chewed on, has been in the garbage, and then in the dumpster to survive. He said at that point in his life, if he would have owned a gun, he would have put it to his head and he would have pulled the trigger. But he was too poor to own a gun. And one day, while digging in the dumpster, he said, and I quote, "It's come to this, I am eating out of dumpsters, I'm sleeping in the dirt, I'm filthy and stink, I'm starving to death, and there's no way out. Oh God, there is no future and no hope. Why are you doing this to me?" Cody's history was one of bad choices. And we in the church could say, "Well, he made his bed, let him lay in it." We could, but that's not honoring the commandment that God said when He said, "Love those enemies too." Cody's history was one of drugs, burglary, counterfeiting, scamming. He had no dad in his life. His mom was 14 when she became pregnant with Cody, and then dad flew the coop. He suffered a life of physical abuse from other people. He suffered a life of all kinds of mayhem and even was involved in way too much illegal activity. He did several stints in prison. And now, after years of wrong choices and piles of money at time from selling drugs, he had come to this point where I quote, "I hated myself, I hated my life, and I hated God." There were times in Las Vegas, after hitting the heroin scene, he would come to his senses and he would say, "I got to get a job. I'm dying here. I'm starving to death." And he'd try to find a clean t-shirt someplace in the scraps of life and try to wash up somewhere and try to go looking for work. And most of the time they would throw him out and yell obscenities that even tell him to get out of here. There were times that he He says, I was desperate and I would try to find a place to wash up, even if it was in the dog water at the park. And I even tried to shampoo my hair there from time to time. And then I would go to a business and I would beg, please give me a job. I'll pull your weeds. I'll wash your dishes. I'll wash your car. I'll paint. I'll do anything, only to get told again, get out of here before I call the police. It seemed like nobody cared. He was down to 135 pounds. He stunk so bad, even the other homeless said, Cody, you stink. Go sleep someplace else. He was skinny. He was filthy. And after a few months of living like this, some other homeless guy said, hey, Cody, you ever heard of Central Christian Church of Las Vegas? It was really some miles from where these homeless were living. But he told him a little bit about Central Christian Church. And so Cody decided to go there and have a look around, maybe even get something to eat. And he went just like I described, filthy, stinking, starving. And when he got there, he was given a number, and he was standing in line holding that number that assured him of a place in line for the shower. There were other homeless men. Some of them were milling about the tables of food and the coffee. And he was standing in this line, and that's when Michelle, a volunteer of the church, came up, and she walked right up to him and said, sir, you look like you need a hug. That's love in action. A hug, he thought. My hair and my beard are matted with filth. His clothes were filthy. His teeth were rotting out of his head. He hadn't had a bath at that point in 3 months. A hug? He said to her. I smell horrible. You don't smell to me, Michelle said. And besides that, Jesus loves you. And with that, she wrapped both arms around him and gave him a big hug. This is love in action. This is what Jesus meant when he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love as I have loved you. You see, he didn't pick and choose. I'm just going to love the disciples. I'm just going to love my family. I'm just going to love my friends. He didn't pick and choose. He commanded them that night, love as I have loved. He went beyond social barriers and he went beyond sin barriers. And he said, take down those walls. A new commandment I give to you, that you love others like I have loved you. Michelle showed that kind of love to this nasty stinker. And then she said again, do you know that Jesus loves you? And Cody thought in his mind, he didn't verbalize this to her, but he thought in his mind, he can't love me. I'm homeless. I stink. I'm a drug addict and I am a very bad man. He can't love me. But those words of Michelle kept ringing in his mind, Jesus loves you. You see, brothers and sisters, the fact of the matter is, Jesus does love him. The church may not. The church may say, take your kind and set outside, you smell bad. But Jesus did love him just like he was. And a long story shortened up, he began to get up there several miles away to that church once in a while. He began to absorb some of the Bible, and I think he even got a Bible. Long story short, he come to the point, he went back to his place of homelessness in the dust and in the dirt of that field, and he got on his knees one night and said, God, forgive me, I need you. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and save me. And God did a work in Cody's life. He began getting to the church a lot more often, and he got cleaned up and he began volunteering the church, and sometime later he married a woman from the church, and now he ministers to those same people in that field that are homeless. He's loving them. He's loving them as a neighbor, as he was loved by the church. Here's the big deal, friends. People that you and I come in contact with are not ever going to see or know anything about the love of Jesus unless they actually see it demonstrated in you and I. Just like Michelle to Cody that day. Different skin color. Caught up in sin. Yeah, we can make excuses. Yeah, but They made their choices. We can make excuses, or we can stop making excuses and love them who they are, like Jesus commanded us to. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus said, that you love each other as I have loved you. And I know we can rationalize and we can argue, yeah, but Jim, he's talking about fellow believers. And I will refer us back to Matthew 5 and 43 when he says, then love your enemies too, because they're in the same category as your neighbor and your families. Love them too, he said. And so we can say we're Christian all day long. But if our words and our actions never show love to the unlovely, we're not doing what He has commanded the church to do. We can do nothing about this command. We can do that. But that's not following the commands of Jesus. Or the next time God puts somebody in front of you that needs loving, you can do something even if they haven't had a bath for 3 months. And so can I. I said this to you at the beginning of the service, and I will close with it before we sing 345. I do not stand here today in front of you because I'm any better than anybody else. I'm not superior to anybody here. I do not stand before you because I want some notoriety. I certainly don't stand before you and do this because of money. I made a lot more of that where I was. I stand here today as a voice crying in the wilderness, church, it's time to act like the church. It's way past time to act like the church that Jesus has called us to be. I stand here today to actually call the church to really be the church that loves people, loves them sometimes right into the kingdom. Oh, they have a choice. They may not take the invitation. But I stand here today before us to encourage and challenge and charge the church to actually stop letting the world and the devil dictate and form who we are in our attitudes and actions, and start allowing the commands of Jesus to dictate and mold us into who He wants us to be. It's way past time for the church to do what Jesus said to do about this new commandment. It's way past time. It's also time to stop making excuses as to why we can't love them and start obeying the commands to love like Jesus loved. It's way past time for that too. So I don't stand here before you with any superiority. I stand here as one voice crying in the wilderness, church, it's time to do what Jesus said. Friends, let's bow our heads for closing prayer. Our Father and our God, first and foremost, I want to say forgive me and forgive us in the church for not living out this commandment you gave to the disciples that day. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, for showing contempt and outright hatred when you've called us to love. Father, if you would give us another chance and put those unlovable in our path, we would ask that you would help us to love like Jesus would love. Father, help us to get beyond that initial appearance of the homeless fellow that has the matted beard and stinks like crazy. Help us to get beyond that and recognize inside there is a soul for whom Jesus died. Help us to get beyond the fact that their skin color is different, or they're caught up in sin, or they have a very different political view, or they're just plain different. Help us, Father, in the church to get beyond that and love like you instructed us to love. And I believe, Heavenly Father, in so doing, that some of these people, when they see the love of Jesus in the church, they will be like Cody and want to experience the grace of the Father in heaven just like he did. I believe when the church loves like you love Jesus, beyond social barriers, beyond racial barriers, beyond all that stuff, I believe when the church will love God, you will do a work in those hearts and lives. And so I ask you this morning, Father, for help. Forgiveness and help. Instead of cursing and being contemptible, help us to remember that you said, love your enemies too. You said to pray for those that despitefully use us. We may not agree with the President of the United States or our governor. We may not agree with people that are running for office. We may not like a certain movement, but Father, you said to love our enemies. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. I pray for help, Father. Help us to do that and be salt and light for you and bring glory to you. And as the church does that, maybe some of these will want to know Jesus and be like Cody and get on their knees someday and say, Jesus, come into my life too. Save me, forgive me, transform me. Help me, O God. Maybe some that we encounter will be just like Cody. And so, Father, please forgive us in the church and help us. Go with us as we go our way today and this week. And when you put those people in our paths, help us to remember, a new commandment I give to you, Jesus said, that you love as I has loved you. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.